Everybody's ready? Let's, okay, a bit left. Okay, thank you. Let's go ahead.
The next matter, number 25-12, I'm sorry, number 25-2129, Mozart St. Cyr versus J.P. Morgan Chase and Company. At this time, would counsel for the appellant please introduce himself on the record to begin?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Julian Diamond for plaintiff appellant Mozart St. Cyr. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay, you may, and you may proceed.
Excuse me. Massachusetts General Law, Chapter 149, Section 19B, which we refer to as the Massachusetts Lie Detector Statute, forbids employers from subjecting applicants to or requesting that an applicant take a lie detector test. There is no dispute that Chase required Mr. St. Cyr to sit for a HireVue AI interview that HireVue itself markets as a way to scale your lie detection. We allege this in detail. The district court found our theory plausible, but then dismissed anyways.
Well, it didn't really find the theory plausible. The district court said was that HireVue holds its product out as having any capability with respect to truth detection matters only insofar as it makes plausible that J.P. Morgan used the HireVue interview for that purpose. I think you're stretching that a little bit. They're saying it matters only in a certain circumstance. And then it went on to decide whether there's sufficient allegations regarding J.P. Morgan's intent. So I understand your arguments, but I think you need to be careful with the district court.
Well, Your Honor, I have to disagree. It says that HireVue holds its product out as having any capability with respect to decision matters only insofar as it makes plausible that J.P. Morgan, just as you said, used HireVue interview for that purpose, and then dismissed the case because we did not...
What were the allegations that made it plausible to suggest that they use it for that purpose? That's what.
Let me go into the facts that we alleged first. HireVue markets video interviewing as the ability to scale your lie detection, screen out embellishers, and hone in on those.
It has the ability to do a whole bunch of stuff, including that. But what makes it plausibly alleged that they used it for that purpose with regard to your client?
Well,
in other words, the complaint doesn't set forth any specific questions that he was asked. I guess there was a district court case where the applicant took screenshots of questions that went directly to the issue of honesty, and we don't have any of that here. That's the missing link that the district court was talking about.
For a couple of things. First, the statute is violated on the request to take the test. That's before configuration or scoring ever would come into play. Second, how Chase configured a proprietary AI system is information that's uniquely in Chase's and HireVue's control. Plausibility simply calls for enough facts to raise the reasonable expectation that discovery and HireVue the discovery will reveal evidence of the violation. This is exactly what discovery is for. Secondly,
you could have alleged something about how it was used in a particular, interviewee's interview. There are ways to allege that.
Well, Your Honor, even under this standard, right? We're talking about a state of mind. The court dismissed because supposedly we did not sufficiently allege purpose. But malice, intent, knowledge, and other conditions of mind can be averred generally. Even Rule 9B says that. That's a much higher standard than the applicable Rule 8. And
you gave examples in your brief, such as a question about if you saw a coworker lying or stealing or something, what would you do? So that was a possibility of a question that could have been asked, but there's no allegation that anything like that was in fact asked. I understand the whole notion of discovery for purposes of getting information that's solely within the purview of the defendant, but there's information within the purview of your client that could have been alleged, like it was in some of the other cases that have gotten further, but wasn't in this case.
First of all, I don't know of any other, you know, for example, in a Baker v. CVS, there's no additional allegations of what the exact questions were asked, because it's you know, defendant knows that, right? But if I could just go into what we allege about the test, I mean, this...
Did your client sit for the interview?
Yes, Your Honor.
He knows what he was asked.
He does not, Your Honor. This is when you take interviews, you're not sitting for one interview. You're applying for hundreds of jobs. It's would not necessarily be in his recollection, Your Honor.
He did not plead his recollection of any particular question or questions.
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I could double check, but I don't believe so. But I mean, if you're
because if you know we from the pleadings, it, I think it's important to know it's if questions were geared towards lying or falsity or, but maybe what if the questions were where do you live, how many kids do you have, where do you go to school, and it's just we don't know. It could be there, or it could have been very specific. Have you ever cheated since you were 18 on anything? You know that. You know, or maybe not say cheated, but
well, so if I could just go into so first, what the statute defines lie detector, it's very broad. It's not like just a polygraph. It's not only defined as a test which detects lies, but also a test that renders a diagnostic opinion regarding the honesty of an individual.
What would be the questions that can render that diagnostic opinion? So, you know, for example, or it could be a hypothetical. If you have this and you're a very honest person, what would you do, or yeah, X, Y, or Z? And it's like, we don't know what those particular questions are or those specifics that led it to, you know, plausibly violating Chapter 149, Section 19B. Well,
Your Honor, it's not just the questions that would be asked. It'd be the way it is scored, right? If, you know, for example, we allege that HireVue, you know, the patent lists reliability, honesty, and integrity amongst the competencies that it's tested for. We couldn't possibly know at this stage of the proceedings if, you know, that's the way it was scored. And additionally, Your Honor, and Chase's kind of view of the case, view of the statute, they completely dropped the purporting to language. Chase's brief repeatedly says the test must be used for the purpose of detecting deception, silently deleting purporting to assist in or enable. The statute does not require a device that actually detects lies. It requires one held out as purporting to assist in or enable the deception detection. And here, purport means to present the appearance of doing something. and
I think that that's clear, but again, my question is, what specifically was asked of him, or what in, you know, is there an allegation of a particular algorithm that was used to detect that maybe, you know, he shouldn't be hired for the job? But we need, you know, I think,
yeah, I look, you're
pleading for pleading, you need to, you know, it's where's the beef, you need to,
right, Your Honor. But I think if you look at what the test is, it's exactly what you would expect a lie detector to look like in the AI age.
It's what, right? The test can do, but it's individually tailored for the specific employer.
It could be, right? That's giving credit to defendant's counter allegations, but you know, again, there's no primacy requirement in the statute, right? If it's, you know, if it's just one of many things it's testing for, that's sufficient. And I mean, the test itself.
What you're trying to ask, what can it do? Yes, maybe, let's say it can detect lies in one way or another, but was it done in this particular case as to your client? That's I think what
I think you could raise the inference that is plausible just based on just what the test is. It's marketed as the ability to scale your lie detection. It's also we allege that it's they work with another company, Effectiva, that uses facial action coding system that's historically used to facilitate deception detection. It's marketed as a way that makes it more difficult for candidates to game the video interview process.
What if your client passed every test, but then when it came to like discretion, maybe he was top three, 20, three, four, five, 20 candidates were all considered and he was not selected or she for some other reason. How do we know that? I think there has to be an allegation.
Well, I don't think it doesn't. It's not required that they don't hire them because of this. But if you, and we have to look at what the lower court said. It said, credit to you. It could be used for an unlawful purpose, but it's just as likely to be used for a lawful purpose. But that's not for a trial court to decide. if I could go to,
but that's based upon the way you pled. You pled the capabilities of the machine. Which if used improperly would clearly fit under the purview of the statute. But you didn't plead it that way. That's the.
I think we did. We pled it. We certainly pled generally that they use it for that purpose. And that the court held that it's consistent with unlawful action just as much as it's in line with lawful action. But the framing concedes two plausible inferences. At the pleading stage, the court must draw the one favoring plaintiff. They can't just pick defendants. It's choosing among plausible inferences is a task for the fact finder. It's not for the court, and certainly not at this stage of the proceedings. In Evergreen Partnering Group, this court stated, and I quote, "It is not the province of the court to dismiss the complaint on the basis of the court's choice among plausible inferences. At the pleading stage, the court has no substantiated basis in the record to credit a defendant's counter-allegations." That's exactly what the court's doing here, Your Honor. Your Honors, it's saying, well, sure, you allege it's used for that purpose. You allege these facts. But defendants saying, hey, you know, it could be used for other purposes. We're going to go with the defendant's inferences rather than plaintiff's inference.
You pled conclusions. You pled that it was used, but you have to give some reason to conclude that it was used that way. I think you pled that the interview could, in fact, be tailored to fit an employer's individual needs. So what you've laid out is this is a possibility. Employers get to choose how they use the interview, and it seems to then stop there.
No, Your Honor, I would disagree with that. I mean, just looking at the federal rules, right? The reason that it was dismissed was because our alleged lack of pleading the state of mind, right? And the federal rules say right there we can allege a purpose generally, and we don't just make that allegation. We make that allegation, and we support it with countless allegations about what this test is, a set of facts that raise that inference.
Okay, thank you, counsel. You still have rebuttal, so
thank you.
Would counsel for the appellee please introduce himself on the record to begin?
Thank you, Your Honors. My name's Andrew Hellman for JP Morgan. So I think Your Honors have homed in on the key deficiencies in the complaints. Your questions have candidly preempted a lot of what I'd planned to cover today. So I'd just like to talk a little bit about how plaintiff, as I think Judge Dunlap suggested, affirmatively pleads how HireVue is a customizable tool and that particular configurations an employer may try to use for the purpose of lie detection. But because, as Your Honors have highlighted, the complaint here concededly does not allege anything about JP Morgan's particular HireVue interview, no questions that JP Morgan asked, nothing about it at all. There's no way to nudge the claim across the line from conceivable to plausible because there's just nothing about how JP Morgan itself used HireVue.
What you're basically saying is that plaintiff's counsel is trying to bypass the 12b6 or Rule 8 pleading standard, and let's go into discovery. Let's go ahead and without plausibly arguing the claim.
Yes, Your Honor, exactly that.
Counsel, could you just remove the water bottle there? Yes.
Sorry about that.
We're used to seeing the podium without it, so.
Yes. So just to walk you through some of the complaints allegations that show exactly how HireVue can be customized, including allegedly for this unlawful purpose. Plaintiff alleges that HireVue asks candidates questions. He gives some samples drawn from public online lists. Plaintiff alleges that HireVue then uses technology to analyze candidates' responses to these questions to ultimately produce, this is at paragraph 32, numerical scores or scoring reports that are reported to employers. At paragraph 33, plaintiff alleges that these numerical scores are tailored to employers' highly individualized needs. And at paragraph 35, plaintiff alleges how employers can tailor it. HireVue in a patent states that it can measure up to 23 potential competencies. Plaintiff tries to show the possibility of a lie detector test by bolding three of them, reliability, honesty, and integrity. But the complaint itself affirmatively alleges 20 other possible competencies that HireVue can measure that have nothing to do with honesty. So things like creativity, teamwork, energy, motivation, analytical skills, and so on. The complaint also at 22 alleges specific questions that an employer might use that, quote, candidates can be asked to try to suss out qualities like honesty and integrity. But the complaint doesn't allege that JP Morgan asked any of those questions. And the public lists, which are linked and incorporated by reference in the complaint, also include questions like, tell us a little about yourself. Why do you want to work here? Talk about how a global weather event might affect world markets. And so without any information about the questions that JP Morgan allegedly asked, there's no way to draw a plausible inference that JP Morgan used HireVue for this one and only unlawful purpose, as opposed to any of the many lawful ones. So how
would you adequately allege purpose? Is it really only through the questions that the putative or potential future employer might ask? There are some limitations on how far a plaintiff can go. So what would you say is sufficient?
So I can imagine a variety of ways to draw the inference of this unlawful purpose. I think the most obvious would be questions. I think if, for example, a candidate were being asked falsifiable questions in the presence of a device with kind of a threatening purpose, so things like, have you ever been convicted of a crime? Or any other kind of factual questions with falsifiable responses, I think that could plausibly indicate purpose.
But I wouldn't plaintiff have to plead or include some of these sample questions, because what do you know what they were?
Yes, he certainly would. And I think because none of those questions are here, there's just no way to draw any inferences about the purpose for which JP Morgan used it. And I'd also just add briefly that it has been undisputed throughout this case that allegations of purpose are required. Plaintiff only challenged the adequacy of his allegations in his opening brief. He did not address the statute. He raised that for the first time in his reply brief, which this court has clearly said is not a basis to reverse. He also didn't raise that below. So given that this case comes to the court solely about the adequacy of plaintiff's allegations, and I think your honors have homed right in on the deficiencies in those, we would ask the court to affirm.
Thank you. 3 minutes rebuttal.
Please reintroduce yourself to begin.
Thank you, Your Honors. Julian Diamond for Plaintiff Appellant. Look, I think when it comes down to plaintiff's allegations, defendant purchased and administered a test that's marketed as a lie detector test that matches up exactly with what the statute says, a test that was that can tell somebody if they have the character for truthfulness. And then they administered it to plaintiff in violation of the law. And defendant is saying, well, it's possible they use it for a lawful purpose. But again, sure, they could have used it as 100 other purposes in addition to lie detection and the ability to tell if someone's honest as a characteristic. We allege that they do. And it's marketed as a lie detector test. That's an inference that there could only be an inference that they use it for that purpose, which we allege. Anything more is for summary judgment.
Let me ask you a question. Let's assume we were to reverse. This goes to discovery, but at some point, it's obvious your client would not have been hired, not for the lie part, but for maybe. They hired somebody who went to a top-tier school versus your client. Who knows? What would be then your remedy you would be requesting?
Again, that's irrelevant. The statute does not require this.
So you would get damages if
there's statutory damages that we're requesting.
So you would request a statute. You're not asking that he be not reinstated, but be hired or anything. Just simply saying they use this, they violated my statutory rights, therefore I'm entitled to damages.
There's an injury there that's been defined by the
just for using the lie. I'll put it, what were you saying? It's a lie detector test, but if it were, then you get those damages for that. Not it's the what I was asking was what would be the other remedy? That's irrelevant. It's simply you violated my rights. I'm entitled to damages.
Yeah, I mean, if you're kind of pointing towards Article 3, there's been no question that if the lie detection test was indeed administered, that there was that there'd be Article 3 standing. But yes, Your Honor, we would we're not asking for plaintiff to be hired as a as an equitable relief. We're asking for the statutory minimum.
Okay. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Okay. Court is adjourned until tomorrow, 9:30 a.m.